In the news this morning, Mayor Lightfoot embracing the idea of licensing police officers. She said, we've already actually reallocated a lot of the work that the police department had previously done. We don't need them to be the first responders on mental health crises. We're transitioning them away from that. Here to talk about police matters from the Fraternal Order of Police, the president and a 25-year Chicago Police Department veteran, John Catanzara. John, good morning. How are you today?
Good, Bob. How about yourself?
I'm all right. Thanks for taking the time to chat with us about something on everybody's mind today. I appreciate that very much. What did you think, John, when you first saw the horrifying video of what happened to George Floyd?
Exactly what everybody else thought. It was disgusting to watch. It almost looked like he was enjoying what he was doing. I mean, not that he necessarily, I'm not saying he realized or was intending on killing him, but it almost looked like he was enjoying inflicting some pain. It just had a weird look on his face, but more importantly, it was an absolute improper police tactic. I'm led to believe that that's part of training in Minnesota standards. Kind of hard to believe, but that's what I'm being told. It's certainly not the standard here.
John, there's no denying that the job of a police officer is unbelievably difficult. It's demanding, it's dangerous, and it requires the kind of courage and willpower most of us don't have. But and I've kind of shifted my opinion on all this from what I used to think to what I think now. I used to think there are few bad cops that ruin the reputation of an entire department. Now I think that's still true, but there's also a systemic problem with racism in police departments. The inability to weed those bad apples out because of a poor system of discipline and some sort of basic flaw in the structure of how police work and what they're asked to do. Do you see it that way?
No, I mean, if this is the incident that's going to be the litmus test, then explain to me how race had anything to do with it. There's no proof or evidence that race had anything to do with it. You know, some people are just violent by nature. Unfortunately, every now and then, some of those people end up wearing a badge. They're not necessarily picking out a certain demographic to express their newfound power on. I don't see how that incident in Minnesota was a racial incident as much as it was just bad police tactics, period.
John, there are numbers that are alarming and that would present a different picture than what you just said. More than 1,000 people died as a result of police harm between 2013 and 2019. A third were blacks. That is a disproportionate number and indicates something is wrong.
Is that what it indicates?
I would think so.
Well, I would disagree with you because, and people don't like this necessary association, but, you know, when we're talking about violent jihadists, religious extremists, we're talking specifically about the Muslim religion, right? I'm not talking all Muslims are bad here, so don't get me wrong. But you don't go looking for Irish Catholic terrorists unless you're in Ireland looking for IRA members. When you're looking for jihadists, you're looking for Muslim religious people. That's who's committing those things. When you're talking about violent felons in the city of Chicago specifically, because that's where I represent members at, the predominant violence is in four neighborhoods. Those neighborhoods are African-American neighborhoods. I cannot control what the reality is in front of all of us, but that's where the violence is happening. That's where the majority of the arrests are going to take place. I don't see how this is not a logical conclusion for everybody to come to.
John, we've all seen all the videos of police actions that certainly seem to be out of line at best and at worst a violation of the law against African Americans, and those are not Muslim extremists, unless I'm missing something.
Give me some examples, Bob.
Examples of what?
Of people who are not Muslims?
Give me some examples of people who are.
You were just saying that they were not Muslim extremists that you were talking about.
You're saying that all of the people we see in situations where it seems like there's police brutality, those are all Muslim extremists? John, you know that. You know that's not true.
The terrorism people?
We're talking about, in some cases, peaceful protesters who have
that
been
wasn't what I, see, you
manhandled by
what
the police.
You misconstrued what I said. My point was, when you're talking about specific things, then you're going to obviously focus on specific demographics. Period. If you're talking about violence in the city of Chicago, the predominant amount of violence occurs in very specific neighborhoods. Of course, that's where the arrests are going to occur. Period.
So
the looting was not occurring in Norridge Park, in Clearing, in Garfield Ridge, in Mount Greenwood. There was no looting going there.
Yeah, we're talking about cases.
Those are predominantly the, you know, the white police areas that everybody likes to talk about in the city of Chicago. But yet there was no looting going on there, right?
We're talking.
We're talking about
two different things here. I mean, look, I've seen good cops, chiefs, even kneeling, marching, praying, crying. What do you think when you see that among these peaceful protesters?
Well, I've made it very clear to the members of Lodge 7 that has no place for our members. That is contradicting to our Constitution as a lodge, and it definitely deflates anything remotely associated with fraternalism. And as such, any member of Lodge 7 who is going to take a knee and basically side with protesters while they're in uniform will subject themselves to discipline in the lodge, up to and including expulsion from Lodge 7.
So you would argue with somebody who is siding for justice and fairness for all?
When you do on your time is your time. When you're doing it in a uniform, you are representing the police department, and as such, you are representing yourself as a member of Lodge 7. So, yes.
John, you know, nobody has more respect for the cops than me. I know so many great cops who all they want to do is help people. And if you compliment them, all they say to you is, hey, that's just what I do. That's just my job. And there are 1,000 great things that cops do every day that you never hear about that are wonderful. But we've got a problem here, and I don't know how you can ignore that. Don't you think there should be a database for police who engage in misconduct? Wouldn't it be a good idea not to dismantle? And I even think the defund term is not right. I think it should be restructure. I mean, wouldn't it be better to have someone else respond to mental health calls involving homeless people or drug situations? And that way the police could deal with other crime matters.
Have you ever dealt with a person in a mental crisis?
I'm not a police officer. I don't deal with people on the street that the cops have to, and I admire the work they do.
So, well, I could tell you from firsthand experience, some of those situations can get pretty hairy pretty quick. What are you going to do if you have a mental health worker who is with maybe another mental health worker, and that person becomes violent beyond their control and their soothing words? Then guess what? Now the police still have to be called. The police are still going to go there. And not only do they have to defuse the situation, now they have to protect the other individuals that are there and worry about their well-being too. It changes the whole dynamic and makes the job that much riskier. There is CIT is the best training I've ever gotten on this job, crisis intervention, and it should have been taught to every single recruit, the full 40-hour course from day one. I've said that forever, but it's still not done, and that teaches you how to defuse that situation. But, you know, Richard Francis was killed by a homeless, somewhat mentally deranged woman on a CTA bus not that long ago. What would a civilian do without a gun? And he had a gun, and he got really
training
taken away from him in a struggle.
Training is good, but a toxic culture where tough is more important than fair and just, that doesn't seem to be right. And maybe do police unions give bad cops too much protection? I mean, the Minneapolis officer Chauvin had 20 complaints, a couple of letters of reprimand, 16 of those complaints closed with no discipline.
Okay. So if they're closed with no discipline, what does that tell you?
How thorough was the investigation? Are you satisfied that those are all investigated thoroughly?
Well, we keep having more and more layers of oversight. you know, we go from internal affairs, then we have to create a new civilian oversight in whether it was COPA or its predecessors, IPRA, and keep going back from there. OPS didn't matter. Now we want to create another layer of oversight. Now we want to license officers. It's just another way to try and circumvent the collective bargaining rights of our members to try and fire them. Because if they can get it, if they force them to have licenses, now you can suspend your license, and now you're basically out of work anyway, and they still achieve their goal. At what point do we stop saying it's the police's fault and start saying it's a societal problem of disrespect and a lack of personal accountability that's not being taught at an early age? And people think they can do whatever they want, that rules don't matter. The mayor is a perfect example of rules don't matter. She's sitting there calling for the firing of a police officer, but she's going to turn around and she's going to give an excuse why her comments to the president were acceptable. It's no different than what she did to one of our lodge the previous first vice president in the city council chambers by calling him a clown. Then she says, well, I'm sorry it was caught on a mic. I'm not sorry I said it. I mean, again, can you ever be wrong? Can you just admit that you were wrong and say I'm sorry?
Well, we would put that
what
back.
What kind of precedent
we would put
is that setting?
We would put that back on you. I've got to get to the news and then John Williams show. We're late, but we need to continue this. John Catanzara, president of the Fraternal Order of Police. John, I really appreciate your time. I am the number one admirer of the great work that good, fair cops do. Please, let's talk again, and thank you for this morning.
Well, let's keep in mind that that's the 99.9% of them, Bob.
I think you're right. We've got a big problem, but it's not the majority of cops.
It's not even close to...
Listen, let's end this way. James Baldwin said it. We can disagree and still love each other unless your disagreement is rooted in my oppression and denial.